Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
About time.
It is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Well, everybody, the election is over. We can get back to taking care of our daily business. Our country is the winner. Hopefully, they're going the right direction. Let's hope so. But I know Insperity is a very important part of my life, and I know it's really hard to run a business. So I want you to consider that if you need somebody to handle your payroll, your benefits, your workers' comp, government compliance requirements, there's only one place to go. Insperity, workforce optimization. They will help you through your hard part, and you can get to taking care of your own business. So log on to Insperity, Insperity.com, 800-465-3800. We are joined by none other than Bill Harmon this morning. As always, on Saturday morning, we're talking golf. Good morning, Mr. Harmon.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm pretty psyched. I like getting up in the morning talking golf with you on Saturday. I think it's really a privilege to get to do it. We've got three tournaments going on in around the world. The PGA Tour, which is right in your backyard in Palm Springs, the Career Builder. Hudson Swafford is at 1:30, followed by a young man named Bazzelli. I don't know who he is, but he can play golf, 1:31. And Phil is right there in the mix. So how do you see it from where you are?
Well, it's been a rainy week here, which is unusual, and it's supposed to rain again tomorrow. But Bill Haas is paired with Phil Mickelson this week, and I'm going to go out today and watch them both play. He said Phil's actually playing pretty good, doing a lot of good stuff. It's hard to say because, you know, they play three different courses, so you have to kind of wait till today's over to figure out who the real leader is, obviously. But hopefully we'll have a better weather today. It's going to be windy, so the courses might play a little tougher. But, you know, what you're finding, Charlie, is a lot of these guys from the web.com tour, we might not know who they are, but they come out ready to play. They've been they qualified by playing well for a year. And one thing about the web.com tour, they shoot a lot of low scores, and getting used to shooting low, I think, is very important for a professional golfer. And these kids coming out nowadays don't appear to have a whole lot of fear.
They just have a lot of faith. But over across the pond, the European Tour in Dubai, once again, Dustin Johnson shoots 8 under and is leading at 12 under, leading Martin Conrad.
Well, he's a shot behind now. Terrell Hatton is 13, but
oh, okay.
I believe there's 11 or 12 guys within two shots of the lead, Charlie.
Yeah, I just saw it just came up. Martin Keimer's right there, and I guess the big absent this week is Roy McIlroy. He has a stress fracture, and what's your prediction on this young man, Bill?
Well, from the expert things that you hear, it could be 4 to 6 weeks. If that's the case, you know, that's 4 to 6 weeks of inactivity. Then he has to kind of start all over again. I thought the explanation that he hurt his rib cage hitting balls, trying out different equipment, was pretty weird. You know, that's what pro golfers do. They hit a lot of balls regardless of what the make of the club is. So I thought that was an interesting excuse for how he a reason for how he hurt his rib cage. You know, Charlie, you and I have talked about this, and we don't have the answer. We're kind of perplexed about why all these young kids have all these injuries, and they seem to be in the most incredible physical shape, but they're on the injury reserve list all the time. So I guess one of these days we should get a physio expert on the show and maybe talk to them, get a Greg Rose from Titleist or somebody to get on the show and from their perspective. But you and I have been looking at this for a long time and really don't understand why the kids that work out the most that appear to be in the best shape are injured the most. It just seems to be a contradiction to me.
Well, I've been around, you know, a long time, and I know lifting weights is very dangerous. You can hurt yourself in many different forms. We can see Tiger Woods. We can see, you know, you can go on and on and on of the guys that have had injuries working out. I think they have to relook what they're doing and be smart about it. So having
but said, you know, Gary Player wasn't injured. And
yeah, but he
didn't
work
out.
He didn't work out like these guys work out. They've taken it to the next level. So I think you got to be very, you know, Frank Stranahan was one of the kids early on that did this. And
sure.
You know, so anyways, you're going to have to watch it. But Dustin Johnson is a heck of a player, and it's amazing how you can go from one day to the next. Martin Keimer was leading. He shoots even. Dustin shoots minus eight, and now, you know, that's why they play 72 holes. Then over in Hawaii, the Champions Tour, interesting scenario here. Of course, we have Bernard Langer, who is just an amazing golfer. He's at 129. And then our good man Freddie, who truly has a bad back, because Freddie had a hard time lifting a pencil in college, let alone any weights.
Well, you know, I played with Freddie last week at Toscana, and he mentioned that he didn't even know how much he was going to play because he had a hard time playing 18 holes. You know, he always says that.
Yep.
And he always goes out and shoots 66 or something. But he did also say something interesting, is that one of the reasons, if he doesn't play a lot, it's one thing to have the back pain, but he said he can't stand to play mediocre, which I thought was quite interesting. And if he's just a run-of-the-mill player, he will not do it. He just will not do it. So I'm really happy to see him playing well this week. He actually played pretty good the day I played with him. I couldn't see any reason for him other than I can't tell what kind of pain he's in. But golf-wise, he's still very, very long. Got exactly the same look and swing, the relative ease. And, you know, it's funny how people that never really change their swing dramatically have great longevity.
You know, and
good players, players.
Talk about longevity. I want to reach out to Jack Nicklaus. It's his birthday today. I think he's 77.
Wow.
And he has stood the test of time. He was always a pretty good athlete, and he was a big guy, and his strength, you know, was from his power and his legs, and he didn't really spend too much time in the gym. But 78, 79, he really started watching his diet, and I think that was one of the things that made him, you know, successful until, you know, he played good golf into his 50s. So, but happy birthday to Jack Nicklaus. That's he's quite a golfer. Would you say he's the all-time best?
Well, I think the discussion is obviously Tiger and Jack. I think it's a valid discussion. You know, if you look at the totality, you'd have to say maybe Jack. But I think Tiger's maybe 20-year stretch is probably the greatest 20-year stretch in the history of the game. I just say they're both great. I don't think one has to be better than the other. I think there's no way you can knock either one of their careers. They're just unbelievable players. It's hard to compare different eras. I just say, why can't we just both say they were really, really good?
You got to have a little, you know, here or there. Talking about
you got to, but you can argue it either way, I think, Charlie.
Yeah, I got a question, but we're going to break here in about 30 seconds. But I want you to consider this, Bill. Who's going to win first this year, Tiger or Phil? Because Tiger's going to come back this next week in San Diego, and so it's going to start. And
this answer will be a no-brainer for me when we come back after the break.
I love that. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation, live from Houston, Texas. We're talking golf with Bill Harmon. We're sponsored by Insperity, and we know it's hard running your business, so give Insperity a call. But other than that, I want you to just stay tuned, because we're going to be right back, and we're going to get Bill's prediction, Tiger or Phil.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
We're back. Scott is off taking care of some personal business. This is Charlie Epps, live from Houston, Texas. SBNationRadio.com, talking golf with Bill Harmon. I asked Bill a question before the break, and we're going to get his answer right now on the rest of the 2017 PGA Tour season. Next week, Tiger Woods is going to make his comeback at San Diego, and Phil Mickelson is playing this week in Palm Springs. So we're going to have a head-to-head competition, and Bill, who's going to win first this year? Which?
Well, Phil might win this week. No, I think it has to be Phil. Tiger's unknown what he's going to do. Phil made the Ryder Cup last year. Tiger was an assistant captain. So there's so many question marks around Tiger's health and his golf game, for that matter, where Phil is still very current. Still contends in a lot of events. It's been a long time since Tiger Woods has contended in any event, really. So the big concern for me, if I'm in Tiger's camp, is how is his back going to hold up, or his health, or knees, and all that other stuff. Where Phil is already current, he's a bona fide member of the PGA Tour. He, like I said, he might win this week. So there are just too many question marks around Tiger for me. So I think Phil will win before Tiger does.
I agree with you. Now, I'm going to go back to the Champions Tour, and the run that Bernard Langer has been on has just been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he has proven that he is the dominant player. But we got a new kid on the block this year who won 13 times on the PGA Tour, who won the PGA, great player, David Toms. He's just one back. He shoots 63 the second day. Who's going to have a better year, David Toms or Bernard Langer?
Boy, that's a good question, Charlie. And that one I hadn't really thought about. I'm going to say Langer only because of his familiarity with all the courses and all the venues. But if it wasn't for that, I'd probably say, you know, a 50-year-old David Toms over a 58 or 9-year-old Bernhard Langer. But I think it might take David a little time to get accustomed to the different venues. But it certainly hadn't taken him much time to get accustomed to the course in Hawaii, which looks to be kind of wide open and not a whole lot of intricacies to it. But obviously, I've been told by Jay Haas's ex-caddy, Tommy Lamb, if you drive it pretty good and hit good short irons and putt good, you're going to be successful out there. But you got to do all three of those pretty good, and I would say that's probably three of David Tom's strong suits. So you'd have to say that, David Tom should do very well, but there's a lot of guys that we thought would do well, the Davis Laws, Vijay Singhs, that haven't done well at all in the Champions Tour. It's kind of a mystery. So I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach, but I would have to think David Toms will be very successful out there.
And having said that, I think what the junior golfers should do is talk to Bernard Langer about his exercise routine. Very fit at the age of 57, still hits the ball considerably long ways, and is healthy. So, anyways, that's that. Last week we had an incredible display of talent by the new breed, Justin Thomas, who's coming of age. He's in that class of, with Jordan Spieth. He comes out in Hawaii and not only shoots a 59 opening round, but finishes 27 under par, beats the record, hits the ball an incredible long ways, and that's another discussion there. But that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and he won the week before. He's won 3 out of 5 tournaments, I believe. And, obviously, is very, very, very good. Now, I guess the next step is what does he do in the majors? Because Jordan obviously has performed much better in the majors than Justin has. But if you listen to Jordan, he's so complimentary. He says he's always had this talent. He's always been this good. When your peers think you're that good, that's usually a pretty good indication. And one of the things that I saw from him last week, in the last 2 weeks, is he seemed to expect to play good. He would get upset when he didn't hit good shots. It wasn't like he was in protect mode. He was in beat the hell out of him mode. So, sometimes that mindset, Charlie, is more important than the physical abilities, which he obviously has.
I couldn't agree with you more, but the young man had a great collegiate career, and he has now blossomed into a great golf professional, and he's motivated because Jordan gives him a hard time, and they go back and forth. So it's the new look on the PGA Tour with the few of the veterans. Anybody else that you've seen this week that you're going to look forward to watching the next few months as we get, on the way to the Masters?
Well, I asked Bill about some of these younger players, and he's pretty complimentary of the Patton Kizzars and this young kid that was another one of Jordan Spieth's teammates. I think his name is Cody Gribble. He said he's really long and really good.
And he's left-handed.
Yeah, Bill's very complimentary of some of these young players. He's kind of a little bit intimidated by how far they hit it. He said it really is something, the distance that these kids have. And, it's become a real power game. And unless you can hit it that far, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage. But the game always allows for people that can shoot a pair of 33s. Charlie, 66 is still 66, regardless of how you do it.
Yes, that is for sure. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, how do you shoot 59? Where does that come from? And, there's a big word that I'm going to come up with that I think it's all about. But I've got a new book I read, The Golfer's Book of Daily Inspiration, and it gives us a lot of outlooks on certain things. So we just got to keep the faith. But this is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. And we know that running your business is very difficult and you need help. And I guarantee you, if you want help with your payroll, with your benefits, with workers' comp, government compliance, that requires a lot of help and a lot of support. Insperity, which is the workforce optimization solutions, they'll take you and they'll focus you on your HR problems and really get you going this year. So we're going to make this a great year. Call Insperity and listen to us on Saturday morning. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Scott is away doing some personal things. This is Charlie Epps, and I have this book in my hand called The Golfer's Book of Daily Inspiration. It's really neat, by Kevin Nelson. Each day you get up and you read, and it's fun. And the bottom line is it's all about faith in oneself. And I would say that Justin Thomas, when he was making all those putts in the last two victories, he had faith. And you just got to keep faith when it's going wrong. And the one question I have for you, Bill, and because of the golf ball, because of TrackMan, because of knowledge, the guys are getting better. There's no doubt about it. How many more 59s are going to see this week? And you think it's because...
This week or this year?
Excuse me, this year.
Well, you'd have to think we're going to see more of them, but, you know, it's only been done 8 or 9 times in the history of the game. So when you think of all the hundreds of thousands of rounds that have been played on the PGA Tour, you know, there's still... only a handful of times has it happened. There are a lot of things have to go right, Charlie. You know, if we go back to Justin Thomas, what if he didn't get a perfect lie in that fairway bunker on the last hole? Right?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't
have
reached the green. He had to have a perfect lie to do it. And so there's a lot of things that have to line up along with your talent, your faith, and all that stuff. Kevin Kisner had a putt for 59 the same week. He told Bill Haas he hit a perfect putt. He said, I thought it was going to break a little left. I hit it in the right center of the hole, and just when I thought it was going to break left, it broke a little bit right. And Bill said, I know that putt, and it has to break left. And so there's a guy that performed the stroke and did everything that he thought was correct for the ball to go in the hole. Bill Haas, who played that hole that day, says that putt that Kisner had to break left. For some reason, it didn't. So there's so many things that have to line up. In this case, it was a par 70, not to take anything away, but most of the courses they play on tour are par 72s.
Well, I think...
They shoot 13 under. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say there won't be another one this year.
Wow, that's interesting. I would say there...
How about that?
I would say there's going to be a couple because of the talent. But, you know, the 59 that was shot there at... and Hope a few years ago by the number one player in the world, that was on its par 72.
Absolutely. And it's still the best one ever in my mind is Al Geiberger, because I've seen Colonial in Memphis. That was a very difficult course and a very awkward course.
Yes.
And that was back with the old ball and the wooden clubs.
Yep.
I think his 59 is by far the best one ever shot, in my opinion. By far. Nothing even close to it.
You know, here in Texas, there's a golfer by the name of Homero Blancas, and he was...
Shot 55.
55. You know, it was a West Texas, East Texas course, you know, in a barbecue circuit, but there's been some great rounds, you know. Annika Sorenstam shooting 59.
Absolutely.
I think
And you could be right. You know, there might be a handful of them this year. I don't know. I just still think so many things have to go correct. Things that you can't quantify. Like I said, if Justin Thomas doesn't get a perfect lie in that bunker, and I bet probably 20 people hit it in that bunker that day, so all the caddies that were in there had to do perfect rake jobs. You know, what if he got a little bit in a rake mark?
Yeah.
You know, he has to lay up, and he might make 4 or 5, but he's not shooting 59. So many things have to align along with your talent, along with holing every putt, reading every putt perfectly, all have them break the way you thought they were going to break. You know, if it was that easy, a lot more people would have done it.
I can't argue that.
Well, you played a lot, Charlie. You know how hard it is to keep it going when you get it going real low. So there's that faith issue that you just talked about, the emotional control.
Yep.
A lot of things that go into this that are hard to quantify, really.
The lowest I ever shot was 61, and it was only because the last nine holes I chipped in three times and had six putts and shot 28. How about that?
That's my lowest score also, and I was 10 under par after 12 holes on a par 71. So if I could have played the last six and two under, I'd shoot 59, and I actually thought of that on the 13th tee and immediately made bogey.
What course?
Thunderbird Country Club in Rancho Mirage, California.
That brings back a lot of great memories, doesn't it? What?
Yes, it does, and it appears to be that's where our former President Obama will be playing.
Really? He's out there taking
a home. He's bought a home across the highway from the golf course, and by all accounts, I was talking to a member there yesterday that I gave a lesson to that said that seems to be the rumor is probably true, is that he will join Thunderbird.
Well, good for him. And, you know, after 8 years of what he's been through, he can play a lot more golf. And I think it's interesting, you know, that our new president not only plays golf, but he's a good golfer and he owns a bunch of golf courses. So golf can be in the forefront. People can start and join it. Bill, when you're teaching these days with your launch monitor and all that kind of stuff, how important have you found that the launch angle of the ball, if you can get your student to understand the launch angle for a driver, that they really start improving their driving?
Well, it, you know, they seem to have a mathematical formula, and they give it to you. You know, if you have X amount of club head speed, your optimum launch angle is so on and so forth. So it gives you a benchmark to work from. My experience using it, Charlie, is most golfers don't have enough loft in their driver, and they're using a too stiff of shaft. And so their ego does not match their performance. And so I've gone to a driver that has a medium shaft and much more loft, and I carry the ball much further with a club that I wouldn't have normally thought would have been good for me. But I just go by the numbers, and so I've had a lot of fun with it. I think it really helps, as you say, with drivers. But I also think it really helps the teacher kind of zoom in on what to work on. It's either path or face angle, let's
right.
say, or angle of attack.
Yes.
And a lot of times if somebody hits it left, they assume they came over it, but the information is that they actually swung out to the right, but their club face is closed.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't tell them to swing more to the right. You work on face angle. So I think that's been beneficial. Still not certain that it's made my players better. I think it's made teaching more fun. I think it's made learning more fun. But you don't play golf in a studio. You play golf on a golf course. So you still have to go out and you have to think. You have to control your emotions. You have to have a game plan. You have to manage your golf course. And a lot of those things TrackMan can't do, or FlightScope. And the one thing that it really can't do is it can't coach fear out of people. So once they come up with a machine, coach fear out of you, then I'm all in.
Bill, I've never known you to fear anything. But
I fear going left and I fear going right. Other than that, I don't have much fear over the ball.
You know, last week at Casa de Campo, I was with my good friend that I grew up with, and I got him to understand more about the launch angle. And I remember watching your brother teach at your place during your golf school we used to have, and he got people hitting up on it. He'd get them really swinging up with that driver, swing up on that, get that launch angle 12 to 14 degree, and it really helps cure the slice. But when we come back, we got a couple topics we're going to talk to Bill Harmon about. One is the Super Bowl, which is going to be here in Houston on February the 5th. We're going to talk about the games tomorrow. We're going to get a little insight to Bill's attitude towards football. I know he enjoys the ponies, but other than that, this is Charlie Epps Golf Hour, and I want you to stay tuned because we'll be right back and we'll talk more golf with Bill Harmon from Toscano in California. Stay tuned.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Back for the last segment, and we're going to switch sports. Houston is hosting the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, February 5th. Tomorrow we're going to have the two title games. The first game on the agenda, Bill, is Green Bay traveling to Atlanta. And I think they have Atlanta a 4 to 5 point favorite. Who do you like and why?
Well, I'm kind of rooting for Green Bay. I bet Green Bay, but I'm not that comfortable with the bet. I think that Atlanta seems to be on fire right now. Green Bay is kind of injured. I think they got a very poor defense. But I'm predicting Atlanta will win 38-35, and I'll win my bet, but Atlanta will win the game. So I have a funny feeling. I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan, but I just think Green Bay is beat up. Jordy Nelson's hurt. I think their defense isn't very good at all. So I think Atlanta's got a lot of speed on offense, and that they're going to torch that defense. Should be a shootout and a heck of a game, I think.
I love watching Rodgers throw the ball.
Unbelievable.
I would like to see him, if he'd have been a pitcher, baseball pitcher, if he'd have, you know, what kind of pitcher he would have been. His arm motion.
You know, his coach in college was a guy named Jeff Tedford at Cal. And when he was on the bench behind Brett Favre, I asked Jeff Tedford if Aaron Rodgers would be good. And he said, no, he'll be great. He said, beyond his physical capabilities, most important thing a quarterback to do is to make a decision in a half a second, not 1 second. And he said, this guy can see the field and make a decision and get the ball out of his hands. He said he thought he'd be a great quarterback, and Jeff was correct. He's an unbelievable quarterback. I think it's the greatest throw I've ever seen that pass last week against Dallas.
You know, and he throws the receivers open. You know, he throws so early, and it's fun to watch. So, but I'm gonna hope that Green Bay wins. Next game,
which, I'm rooting for Green Bay also. Yeah, by the way,
the next game is a classic football game. The two great quarterbacks, two great organizations. The Steelers are going to visit the Patriots. Patriots are 5.5, 6-point favorite. How do you see this game?
Well, I bet the Patriots, and I'm comfortable with the bet. And part of it is the reason that Mike Tomlin said in that rant that Antonio Brown let out is that when they delayed that or pushed the start of that game back in Kansas City, it took a day and a half off of their preparation. You see, New England played on Saturday last week, and plus they're at home, so New England had a day and a half more to practice. They're playing at home, don't have to travel. I think that's going to end up being a big deal. You're giving Belichick 48 more hours to prepare, doesn't have to travel. I think it should be a close game, but I think at the end of the day, New England will pull away and win 27-17 is my prediction.
You know, you should have a Saturday morning football show.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, you know, everybody talked about how much trouble the Patriots had against Houston, which they did, but I don't think the Steelers have two players or the players that you guys had on defense. They were unbelievable how quick they were in there, Charlie. Clowney and some of the other players on that defense in Houston were really good.
Yeah, really a great defense, and we got them all coming back with J.J. But I think the Steelers have a big advantage with their running game, and I'm going to pick the Steelers to upset.
Let me give you a couple stats.
Yes.
In the last 24 games, New England hasn't given up one rusher that's rushed for 90 yards in over 2 years. And this is a stat that I heard on the radio this morning. In the last 150 games, when New England wins the turnover battle, they're 137-13. How about that number? That's some number, isn't it?
Oh, man. I don't know who researches that, but today with the computers and all these geeks in the game.
Now, it's kind of sad that I know more about this stuff than I know more about golf.
But the stats are there, you know, and your brother Dick, you know, his nickname was Stats.
Oh, he was Stats. That's what you called him.
You know, and he knew it. So that's a harmonism and stuff like that. But, Bill, it's been a great week. We're going to look forward to seeing Tiger and Phil go at it down in San Diego.
I can't wait to see Tiger play again. I hope he's healthy, and I hope he gets back and gets right back in the fray. I can't wait to see Tiger in the hunt again with these young stars.
Who's going to win this weekend?
Well, that's a tough one. There's, you know, because once again, they play three different courses, so it's really hard to determine who the leader is. I might go with the leader right now, this Hudson Swafford young man. These young players are good, and just because a lot of people haven't heard of them, they shoot low scores or used to shooting low scores. So I'm going to go with a leader this week. I think he holds on and wins.
That is Bill Harmon from California. I'm Charlie Epps in Houston. It's been fun talking golf with you on this Saturday morning, brought to you by Insperity, a company that can really help you run your business. Bill, it's been great. Have a good week.
Thank you, Charlie.
We'll check you next week. I am going to pick Danny Lee. I think Danny Lee is going to win this weekend. So everybody have a good week.
Stadium court, so he has an advantage.
Happy birthday, Jack Nicklaus. Everybody have a great week. Keep the faith. Bye-bye, everybody. Play well and have fun.